Hello, and welcome to this thing we're doing, called How Marvelous.
I am Max.
I am Mickey.
And I am JR. Hooray! How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, it goes.
Yeah.
I've been at the beach all day, so I'm nice and leathery.
I'll be praying for you. Well, I was not at the beach all day. I was farting around on YouTube, and my daughter was angry at me that I didn't play with her today.
Oh.
But it's just like, Daddy needed a mental health day. Leave me alone.
Daddy needs to watch Let's Plays. Fuck off.
Yeah.
No, actually, like, generally speaking, I will turn on comedy.
Okay.
Like, I'll turn on stand-up or shows that stand-ups have had. Like, I'll turn on Jim Jefferies' show occasionally, just because, like, I like him calling people cunts.
If you want to get,
I know.
If you want to get really sad and mad at the same time, go watch Carlin and find out how much nothing has changed.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I know. I know. Whatever. Anyway. What if we are up to What If Volume 1, Number 13? What if Conan the Barbarian walked the earth today? And this bad boy is written by Roy Thomas, penciled by John Buscema, inked by Ernie Chan, colored by Glynis Ween, lettered by Joe Rosen, and edited by Roy Thomas and Jim Shooter.
So, just to be clear, if by today you mean 42 years ago.
Yeah.
Just... We should get that out in the open.
Right. Yeah, it's
not Conan,
I mean,
on TikTok.
It came out February of 1979. I would pay to see TikTok influencer Conan.
Oh, that would be
just
rad.
Like,
what is Best in Life remix? Yes.
Just Conan learning dances all day.
What is best in life? Well, I'll tell you. It's this thing I bought. Let's unbox it.
Yeah, Conan reacts to the WAP video.
Yeah.
I feel like Conan would like that.
I feel like Conan would be like, this is good. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. By Crumb, I do not understand the controversy.
These maidens are simply ready to be wedded and bedded. And then I will steal them and bed them some more. Have you ever actually read any of the original Conan?
No.
He's actually a really interesting... Like, he's a semi-intellectual character. And the only women he ever has sex with are, like, equal power fantasy, just who was that woman that dated Dolph Lundgren, and she was Mayday in a Bond movie?
Grace Jones. Yeah.
Every single female protagonist in the Conan books is her. Like, it's her character from the second Conan. It's incredible how actually there's not one time when he's just like, I'm going to rape this woman. It's always, she was really fucking awesome and she killed 500 people and her bloodlust made her horny for me.
And so we fucked on top of the corpses.
As awesome. Equals. Ah!
Wow, that's
actually
surprisingly progressive.
Oh,
yeah. Especially for, when did those books start? In the magazines was like the 50s?
The 30s. Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, to have started its life in the 30s, featuring a character from thousands of years ago, and yet for him to be like that forward thinking is really impressive.
We could all learn a little from Conan.
Really. And not only that, Conan's stories technically take place within the Lovecraft universe. So he's actually being more progressive than Lovecraft in his own universe.
Well, I mean, that's not hard. It's just, I mean, Lovecraft was a pathetic racist afraid of his own erections. So,
yep.
And he was racist for his day.
Even
his contemporaries were like, check out that racist. Jesus.
Yeah. he's like other people are just like, I don't really like black people. And Lovecraft is over here like enjoying the indie racism. Yeah. Like he's just like, oh, you're just a racist against black people? Okay, whatever, tourist. I'm going to be over here complaining about the wrong kinds of white people. And anyway, this comic.
The wheels are off the wagon.
Much earlier than usual, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go but further off track. So, the premise of this issue is that at one point in the Conan stories that Marvel did, there was a run-in he had with someone who was from the future, and this guy had attempted to offer up the Conan and this woman to this well, because equivalent exchange, I guess. So, you know, by offering them up, he would get something comparable in terms of technology. And I don't really know what the conversion rate on that is, like whether it's based on weight, and that's why he chose Conan, was because he's a beefy dude and so more tech. Or if it was just kind of like, whatever, it could have been a badger. It doesn't matter. But anyway, in the normal continuity, Conan is able to climb his way out and, I assume, rip the guy's intestines out through his throat. But in this version, he lifts the woman out that he's with. And then the rope snaps and he falls in and he is teleported to 1979. This coincides with a bunch of electrical storms which knock out the power. And in the course of things, he encounters everything you would expect. Cops, random people that are just like, oh, look at the pervert. He meets some glam rock dipshits.
They're called glam punks, I think, which is like not a thing.
Oh yeah, no, it's a thing, but it's not that.
Oh yeah, well okay, sure, but it is not this. Yeah,
well, and that's why I was like, glam rock is because like
they're a lot more glam than they are punk. Yes,
they're punks in that they're like, you know, they're punks in the way old people refer to young people, not punks in the scene sense. And but they are very glam.
I for one miss the days when comic book writers were enormous nerds who had no fucking clue. And so like you'd include stuff like that. It's like the glam punks. Ooh, I don't know. I heard these words on the radio. Ooh.
I literally do nothing but stay in my house and draw my pictures.
Yeah. I have no idea what hard looking people are. Leather jacket with torn off sleeves and mohawk. Yes, perfect. Villain of the 80s.
You miss the days when that was the case. That's still the case.
Did anyone else get, so after he lands, the first lightning strike hits, and we cut to a, shot in a salon. Did anyone else get serious Salvador Dali vibes off the dude in the foreground?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me see.
I don't. It's page 11.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to say sure.
Yeah, no. I got major. The Gator went wop 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 wop.
I can imagine that being incredibly incredibly jarring for someone like Conan.
But you know, for New Yorkers,
Well, and actually that brings me to a point I would like to make, which is that so throughout the book, anytime he's in the street, there's always people wandering around being like, check this fucking guy out. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't buy it. No. With his, I've never been to New York, and if I go to New York, I don't really want to go to New York, but I've never been to New York. But every story I've heard about New York is that you see shit all the time. And you're just like, yep, that's like...
Looking at this guy, I get more of a Vincent Price kind of vibe.
Sure. But I can't imagine that everyone on the street doesn't... If you dropped Conan in the middle of New York right now, I guarantee you no one would bat a fucking eye. He would just all right, there's that.
Yeah, I think the most realistic reaction is the bottom right of page 14, where they just assume it's for a movie, you know, and you sure that isn't Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
People call him Stallone a couple of times. But what's interesting is a lot of this, and of course we have the obligatory Peter and MJ cameo. A lot of this feels kind of like, you know how Ron Jeremy was an extra in Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how it's kind of, people kind of point to that and say, well, this is sort of a conservative view of New York at the time. Like, he is an average New Yorker in that he's a giant pervert and part of the moral decay that is calling out to Gozer and all of this. And
wasn't he there by just like accident?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a whole lot to put on a cameo. Jesus.
No, I'm just saying I've seen that argument before, and he was just there
getting like a fucking sandwich or something.
I'm just saying that's kind of the vibe I get from the random people on the street here is just like there's not really a lot of, you know, there would be people just wearing suits or dressed, you know, relatively conservatively, but all we see in this issue is like young people that even someone from 1900 would find off-putting, you know, and stuff like that. Like, they're really playing up the sort of, I don't want to say moral degeneracy, but the oddness of New York in the 70s for the effect.
To be fair, it was literally New York in the 70s.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but what do you think they're trying to say by doing that?
I think it's done for effect. I'm not saying there's a socio-political.
Well, no. Not even socio-political, just like theming, anything like that. Is there?
You lost him.
You lost me?
Yeah. It's fine. I'm not trying to make a larger point or anything. I'm just saying that for the purposes of the story, I think they're putting a lot more people in here that Conan would be more freaked out by, than, than they otherwise might have in an average group shot or a background shot.
I think that's I absolutely agree that that's probably the logic that they're going with, but I find that a really weird argument for them to make, considering that like Conan comes from a time when people dressed in like snake robes and giant golden helmets that could make you like take control of naked slave girls, and
yeah,
it's like, no, I think he'd look at 70s New York and just be like, ah, by Crom, I could take over a game.
This is a place I'm not used to, but it's no weirder than any other I've been in.
Yeah.
Who
is the king here? I must slay him.
Yeah. So, in the course of things, like, on the run from the police, because of course, he has a run-in with this cabbie, who's named Danette. They can't speak to each other. He doesn't speak English. But they go back to her place, and she's just like, and he's like, And so, of course, they fuck. And then, like,
Conan has after, that effect.
I mean, like, yeah, I get that. I would definitely, if say that it. Dude showed up, like,
say it.
I think anybody in their right mind would just be like,
I would fuck like, Conan.
Sure. You know, it's the same argument about I made about people like Idris Elba, and it's. That's not gay or straight. That's just common sense.
Right.
You don't turn that shit down. They show up and they're just like, hey, you wanna? You just say, yeah, of course. Be gentle. Like, you know. But so they do. And then in the course of things afterward, Conan is, you know, pondering. And through a sequence of events I don't really remember, they wind up...
There's a riot outside, and he goes out and stops the riot from breaking into the furniture shop that she lives above. And then afterward, he goes back upstairs, and she's like trying to figure out how to communicate, so she shows him a picture book of places around New York. He spies the Guggenheim Museum, which looks like the ziggurat that he started from upside down, and... they go there.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I got to take a moment. Why on earth would Conan the Barbarian stop people from looting?
Even his logic stated in the text is flimsy. Yeah. Like
his logic is basically just he's stopping them from robbing the store she lives above, and that's it. Like, everything, all the other looting, he genuinely could seem to give less a zero shits about. But like
that all happens. Just like, that's stopping the robbing of the store next door is incidental at best. Because it's like, oh shit, there's a crazy dude here now. Fuck.
Yeah.
Grab what you can.
Yeah. So they go to the Guggenheim and they're able to get inside because somebody's in the process of robbing it. Conan stops them. And then the cops show up.
Conan outright murders a dude.
Several.
Well, they I mean, he's like going really easy on them at first, but then like one of them wings Danette.
Yeah.
And he just goes straight sick house on them. Like, I mean, we're talking Brock Sampson Red Haze moment here.
Ooh, yes.
Where it's just like, he is just tearing through these guys. Pins one of them to the wall with a sculpture, doesn't he? Like,
no, he throws his sword through one guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And then he uses some art to kill another one. But
tosses two guys straight just, you know, out the window. I really do like the comparing it to Samson, because it is just it, like, this comic had no violence up to this moment.
Yeah.
Even in the past, and now he's just like, he's blowing past the comics code.
Oh yeah. I am constantly amazed by how much they're able to get away with sometimes. Like, sometimes things seem incredibly tame, and then other times they're just like, oh shit, things really just got incredibly real.
He straight throttles a guy at the end, just like one-handed.
Yeah. Even though it happens off panel, like, you know that's what he's doing, is strangling this man to death.
Well, and what amazes me in this issue is during the scenes where they are getting down, they do some pretty heavy, I'm trying to find what exactly, because I remember reading this and like, you couldn't even imply originally that people were having sex. And now they're just like, oh no, they wake up in bed together.
You know what I want this to be portrayed as? That issue of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it
That is
has...
one of my favorite examples.
Yeah, and I just want it to be like that, but instead of spy-oriented, like barbarian shit. So, like, there's a sword on the ground, half out of a sleeve. There's, like, loincloths and shit, and it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you are unaware, I know we've talked on Watcher's Guide about this. I absolutely love, there is a scene in one of the Jim Steranko issues. Of
no, sorry, you're saying it wrong. You have to say Jim Steranko.
Jim Steranko.
Damn right.
Like I'm the muscle man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Strinko!
Bone saw is ready! The issue in question, he's with the Contessa, and he, like, the way it was originally written, there was just supposed to be a kiss. But the comics code was like, no, you can't do that. And so the comics code forced them to change it to a close up of Nick's gun hanging in its holster over a chair. And everybody concerned is just like, this is way more suggestive than what we had. What we had was a kiss. This is like a train entering a tunnel. Like, what the fuck?
It is by far the sexiest comic book page ever committed to, you know, it's incredible.
It is the sexiest comic book page that did not show actual insertion.
Yeah, you don't see anything. That you compare that to every single ass shot in the 90s, and it just blows it the fuck away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Gen 13, back when it was starting out at Image, when they had, like, naked characters, like, barely hidden behind stuff. Like, that is nothing compared to what happened to this Steranko page. And the comics code is just like, that's better.
We don't understand what's happening. That's great. Steranko, of course, you know, just drawing pages between blowjobs he apparently gets.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
That's Steranko for you.
Yeah. Fucking Steranko.
Steranko.
I mean, you know, dude was a genius. Dude is a genius.
Christ.
What?
I've never seen this before. This was before I started.
Yeah.
Holy
right?
shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that not the hottest, most suggestive page you have ever seen?
Well, like,
yeah.
She's hot as hell, and like the rose petals too, and he puts his cigarette out, or the cigar out, comes over, there's a shot of just her lips, which is hot as hell, and then they're not kissing, but it's close, and
yep.
then the gun.
Yeah,
and
that,
it's like,
that is the greatest panel in that.
Fucking hell. That's...
Yeah, it is. It is... It is... That page ushered a lot of people into puberty. I am absolutely certain. Like, they saw that and were just like, what are these new feelings? Like, whereas the panel that was going to be there was just... him standing and her kind of on her knees, and he's bent over kissing her. Something like that. Like, it was a kiss, and she's on her knees. You know, I guess the fact she's on her knees was the issue. But, like, it was a situation where he'd been, like, lounging on the couch, and she'd been sitting on the floor, mm-hmm. and he came over to her and kissed her.
Yeah.
And they're just like, nope, can't have that. Might as well have the dick innuendo. Like, whatever. But yeah, so this issue, however...
This issue was not drawn by Steranko, and quite frankly, I find it to be a very ugly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There are things about the art I like. There are other things... There are other things that are slightly exaggerated that I'm just kind of like, no. I like John Buscema as a general rule. This is not one of his better issues, but it's certainly, like, it's got...
Who did you say inked this?
Ernie Chan.
Okay.
Who's generally fairly competent.
Yeah.
I think the real problem is Buscema's art isn't applicable for the more modern look. Like, his work on the actual Conan title, which this is all taken from, all these characters look like Conan characters. It just makes more sense in that kind of setting and with those kinds of costumes that they have. Seeing more modern stuff is just... there's something weird about it.
That's fair.
Like,
I mean,
his,
like,
his watcher,
you know,
is fucking ugly.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. There are a lot of things. I mean, like, Jay Lee is one of those that has to be in the right setting or his art is fucking terrible. Because, like, Jay Lee's Inhumans. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But then, like, he did
his Ultimate Fantastic Four, I hate.
That, and he also did Transformers G.I. Joe, and that was god-awful.
All right, so that's 28 minutes and 56 seconds, folks.
It's fine. We're just talking. It's cool. But anyway, so the upshot of all of this is, after he murders these guys, Danette goes to run interference with the cops. He gives her his armband.
Yeah.
And she gives him her hat, and he goes up to the roof, holds his sword up, and is struck by lightning, and he gets transported back to the what is it, Hyborian Age?
Hyborian,
I forget what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like he remembers that he has to go end this issue, and so he's like, "All right, plot's done. I'm going to the top of this building.
We've done everything we can do here without having a second issue." So, yeah. And then at the end, it's just like, you know, it's your fairly standard, like, he would think it were all a dream were it not for the souvenir that she left him with and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's
better than a lot of these issues have been. This is a more what-if-y kind of thing. My only concern is that when we get to the second What If Conan Was in Modern Times, either it's going to be much worse or much better, but like, why in the hell did they make two of these issues?
Well, because too many martinis at lunch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, lots of cocaine.
Maybe. I mean, hey, listen. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
It's okay. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying, you know, maybe lots of cocaine.
You know.
Overall, I my opinion of this was, yes, also I read that, and that's not glowing, but it's better than maybe some of the other ones we've read.
Yeah. I mean, this is by no, yeah, like you said, it's not the worst we've seen thus far, and it's certainly not the worst we will see, but it's by no means good. It's just kind of there. I mean, at least it's more adventurous than we usually see. I guess I'm still just waiting for the point at which, because, you know, there are later issues of What If, like, I think the Korvac Saga issue, they straight up destroy the universe, you know, and stuff like that. We're still in the all the toys have to go back in the box by the end of the issue stage, and this would be more fun were it not for that. Like, I don't want to just see Conan's first fumbling steps in the modern age. I want to see what Conan does in general. I want to see, like, what if Conan's stuck in the present day?
Yeah, and I was just thinking, wait, how did Encino Man end?
They find an Encino woman, and he's just like, erection,
right?
And
right.
So
okay, yeah. So, but yeah, no. What does he do? Does he get his MBA and become an accountant, or
no?
All right.
I
honestly, no. given our current climate, he probably ends up working for private security and committing some war crimes, which he was doing anyway, so he's fine.
Yeah. No,
yeah, I was gonna say, I could see a Blackwater situation.
Right, yep.
I don't know.
The Barbarian, you know, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, there's that. I don't know about TikTok influencer, as funny as that would be, but I could definitely see, like, reality show Conan.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Or you could fulfill the fantasy and dream that is mine every time I turned on the TV, saw the word Conan for a moment, and was like, oh, sweet. Oh, it's that fucking comedian. Just give him a talk show.
There you go. I like that.
Just like, you know, Paul Rudd comes on and shows that goddamn Mac and Me clip again.
He chops Conan, his fucking head off for it.
Conan cleaves him in twain. Conan tires of your antics. Slash.
This joke was boring 5 years ago.
We actually, I literally yesterday, I introduced Moira to Paul Rudd doing the Mac and Me thing.
Oh God!
Because we were watching the honest trailer for E.T., which does Mac and Me as well. And they do a thing at the end where they're just like, and now this previously unseen outtake from or deleted scene from E.T., and it's the scene that Paul Rudd shows on Conan every time. And so Casey and I were just like, oh, okay, haha, whatever. And Moira's like, what? And so we're just like, well, bleh. And so we showed her a bunch of them. And she's just like, why are you laughing at that child falling off a cliff?
Because it's fantastic.
She was legitimately angry at us. And we're just like, no, it's okay. It's clearly a dummy. And like, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, she gets worked up about stuff like that. It's hilarious. Anyway. So yeah. Whatever. I mean, Conan got his dick wet, and that's not nothing.
Yeah, but no, that's a successful issue.
Yeah. Join us next time for pointless goddamn space opera. What if Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos had fought World War II in outer space? So... bye.
Bye.
Take me with you.